The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers. But before all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one towards another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me. And you shall give testimony, because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you." And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the angel being come in said unto her, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Words taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the most well-known apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, my dear faithful, was that made to St. Catherine Laboure. Our Blessed Lady appeared many times to St. Catherine. One of the most outstanding of all her apparitions occurred on November 27, 1830. It was a Saturday evening around 5:30, while the sisters were at prayer in the chapel, when St. Catherine Laboure received the vision of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. This vision had two phases. In the first phase, Our Lady appeared as the Virgin of the Globe. St. Catherine Laboure was kneeling in her pew praying when she heard the sound like the rustling of a silk dress near the picture of St. Joseph. Turning in that direction, in her own words, she said, "I saw the Blessed Virgin at the level of St. Joseph's picture." She continued, saying, "The Virgin was standing. She was of medium height and clothed all in white. Her dress was of the whiteness of dawn. A white veil covered her head and fell on either side to her feet. Her face was so beautiful that it seemed to me impossible to express her beauty. Her feet rested on a white globe. There was also a serpent green with yellow spots. The hands, that is, of Our Lady, were raised to the height of the stomach and held as if offering it to God, a golden ball surmounted with a little golden cross, which represented the world." St. Catherine continues, saying, "All at once I saw rings on her fingers. Three rings on each finger, the largest one near the base of the finger, one of medium size in the middle, the smallest one at the tip. Each ring was set with gems, some more beautiful than others. The larger gems emitted greater rays, and the smaller gems smaller rays. The rays bursting from all sides flooded the base so that I could no longer see the feet of the Blessed Virgin. At this moment, while I was contemplating her, the Blessed Virgin lowered her eyes and looked at me. I heard a voice speaking these words. This ball that you see represents the whole world and each person in particular. I could not express the joy I felt at this, at what I saw, the beauty and the brilliance of these dazzling rays. The Blessed Virgin continued saying, "They are the symbols of the graces I shed upon those who ask for them. And the gems from which rays do not fall are the graces for which souls forget to ask." Then followed the second phase of the apparition. In the second phase, St. Catherine saw Our Lady as she is represented on the miraculous medal. Now, Our Lady requested that a statue be made depicting her as she appeared in the first phase of the apparition. Eventually, the statue was made depicting the Virgin of the Globe. The Virgin of the Globe represents Mary as mediatrix of all graces. I tell you this story today as we are still within the month of May, the month of Our Lady. The Blessed Virgin has many titles. One of her most important ones is Mary, the mediatrix of all graces. Simply put, this means that all the graces we receive come to us through the Blessed Mother of God. She says our Lord is the mediator between God and man. So too is Our Lady our mediatrix. You see, all graces which come to mankind come to us from God. More specifically, they come to us from God, the Holy Ghost. However, the Holy Ghost does not bestow them on us directly. Rather, he gives the graces we need to his spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who in turn passes these graces on to souls. And so the Blessed Mother is a channel of grace, for all graces pass through her hands. St. Bernard explains it this way. He says, "She is full of grace, and the overflow is poured out on us." Our Heavenly Mother is thus queen and is mediatrix in two ways. She is a mediatrix in an ascending and descending way. By the ascending way, the Blessed Virgin Mary takes our prayers and offers them up to her Son. When she does so, she thus makes our prayers more worthy. To understand this, think of the feudal times, when a gift was offered by a vassal to the king through the hands of the queen, the gift became more worthy in the eyes of the king. In the same way do our prayers and supplications become more worthy when they are offered to God through the hands of our heavenly Queen. As St. Ephrem says, Mary is, after Jesus, the mediator par excellence, the mediatrix of the entire world, and it is through her that we obtain all spiritual good. And the descending way that Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces is the way that Our Lady obtains graces for us. That is, she acquires or gets those graces which we need most. She brings them down from heaven and distributes them to us. As we all know, Mary is the mother of all mankind. As a mother, she is interested in what is best for us, and thus she is interested in the salvation of each and every one of us. She is therefore always praying for us. In this way, she obtains for us the graces that we daily receive. Pope Leo XIII, in his encyclical on the Rosary, said, "According to the will of God, nothing is granted to us except through Mary. And as no one can go to the Father except through the Son, so generally no one can draw near to Christ except through Mary." And thus, Our Lady will always be interceding for us. But she will intercede for us all the more we are pleasing to her. And we can be sure that we please her if we imitate her virtues. If we truly love our Heavenly Mother, we will strive to do this. One virtue especially pleasing to Our Lady is holy purity. And so we must guard this precious virtue for which today's world cares so little. The way to do this is, of course, to be modest. Everywhere you go, immodesty in dress abounds, and it is so destructive to souls because it presents an occasion of sin. And thus, especially women must realize that they are responsible for the sins which they cause in others by their modest dress. And, by the way, men too can dress immodestly, and they too are responsible for the sins that they may cause in others. Immodest dress is truly a tool of the devil. It is the devil's tool because it is effective in leading so many souls to hell. It is no wonder that with immodesty rampant in society, there is so much impurity. Remember that immodesty offends Our Lady. The Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Mother is pierced when she sees women dress immodestly. To dress modestly in our day and age requires courage and grace, for those who dress modestly will stick out, and at times they will even be ridiculed for dressing properly. But this is what Our Lady wants, what she asks of her daughters. For she knows her Son, who died on the cross because of sins against modesty, wants it too. My dear faithful, however difficult it may be to dress modestly at all times, so much the more must we strive to be faithful to Mary and her standards. This should become easy if we think more often of our Heavenly Queen, for she is our loving Mother. We must therefore love her in return and seek to please her. And the more we please her, the more we will win her favor and intercession. These are not just empty, nice-sounding words. These are truths we must live by. Let us therefore beseech the Blessed Mother of God that she lends her necessary intercession, for we all need help, and we need help in many ways. We all face numerous temptations every day, and each and every one of us has his and her crosses to bear. Therefore, let us go to Mary, who is best able after our Lord to help us. As the mediatrix of all graces and our loving Mother, she is constantly waiting for us to ask her for her intercession. Go to her then, especially in times of temptation. Plead for her intercession. Say her favorite prayer. That is, devoutly recite the Hail Mary when you are besieged by temptation or suffering some trial. She will always come to your assistance. Without doubt, she will bestow on you the graces you need to overcome the temptations or trial. But she wants you to ask for them. Remember that St. Catherine saw gems upon the Blessed Mother's fingers from which no rays fell. And Our Lady explained that these were graces for which souls forget to ask. But St. Catherine also saw graces streaming forth from Mary's hands. So you can be sure that if you call on Mary for help, she will always send these graces to you. And so, my dear faithful, always go to Our Lady, the mediatrix of all graces. For as St. Bernard says, it is the will of God that we should have everything through Mary. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.